Why don't we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the, Lord, the day you've given, all the things that you've allowed to come into our lives, all the things that are there. Lord, thank you for being a loving God, that you have provided us with so much that we might know, that we might know that you are God. We pray that you'll take this time before us and that you'll move in each heart. Lord, every one of us, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. And Lord, we might say thank you. So bless the time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if I've ever looked for a title of a message. It seems to be the thing to do, and sometimes you look for a title and sometimes it just never works out. So if I was to title the message, I would probably turn around and title it, "What Are You Doing Here?" And I would ask that you might open to 1 Kings. First Kings 19. I'll get there. 19 and beginning in verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose, and he went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Elijah, the setting, Jezebel had sent him a message. If you would with me, we could go back to 1 Kings 16. And I go to 28. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria for 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. That's quite a statement. This man did evil more than all that came before him. Now, we all know people that have been arrested and they've done evil. And there are nations that have done evil and how they gain and all the things they do. It's not a good time. And it wasn't a good time here. Not under Ahab. And it came to pass, verse 31, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal after him and worshipped him. He left what he knew to be God, to go worship the idols of the world, of his wife, the queen. And it's not the first one that was led astray. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Provoked to anger. You ever been provoked? Kids can provoke you. Work can provoke you. The difference here is that God will not be provoked earlier than the time is that he's going to respond. He may have been provoked. God was provoked by Ahab, but he waited. And he brought Ahab's demise and Jezebel's demise on at his time for his honor and for his glory. Sometimes we respond when we're provoked to do something, and it's not the time. But that's us responding in the flesh without thinking, Lord, what would you have me to do? How should I handle this situation? Chapter 17. I'm going to cover a lot of Elijah, probably many years of Elijah in the course of a couple of minutes. But this took a long time for him to live through this. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. I'm your problem, Ahab. I represent the Lord God of Israel, and it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Now, Ahab couldn't focus on God, didn't believe him, didn't honor him, but he had a point that he could go look at, and that was Elijah. Where is that anger going to focus? It's focused at Elijah. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence. Get thee hence, Elijah, and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Ahab was basically taken to the desert to be taught of God. Sometimes God has to take you away from things. Even though you've been doing his will, he takes you away a little bit so he can deal with you to make you more of what he wants. Elijah learned to depend on God. That's definite. He did things that were monumental. Went to the king and told the king, hey, there's going to be famine, there's going to be drought in the land, no rain until I say it is. He basically told him where things were going to be. And he incurred the wrath of Ahab, and he incurred the wrath of Jezebel. Verse 8, the word of the Lord came to him. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I would cut to this and just, you know, summarize it, but it's good. I want to read. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now Elijah says, don't need to do that. Don't need to do that. The exercise with a widow woman the exercise with Elijah. I'm trusting God. There were terrible times that came about because Elijah stood up and said, no, this is going to come upon you. Later in their meetings between Ahab and Elijah, Ahab accused Elijah of being the one that would trouble Israel. And Elijah corrected him. He said, no, I didn't trouble them. You troubled them. You brought this upon Israel. The times were terrible. Ahab and Jezebel, the worst that had ever been seen to that point. Ahab, sent to do things that he did them. We don't know a lot about his feelings towards it. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? We're just told he did it. And when he was told to go run and hide, he ran and hid. But the leadership in the nation was corrupt. The things were the worst that they'd ever seen before them. The end product of the rejection of God. God wasn't important. God was not brought into any part of that. It just kind of, Ahab and Jezebel, the nation will be taken care of. Look at what they're doing. But now they've got a tremendous problem because it's not going to rain. It didn't rain for a long time, to the place where Ahab went looking for water or hay or fodder that he could turn around and not lose all the animals in his kingdom, or the animals of work, horses and donkeys and all the rest of it. He went one way, Obadiah went the other way. Obadiah was a governor of one of the areas there. But Obadiah had hidden prophets away from Jezebel. He had taken, I think it was 50 of them, and hid them, feeding them bread and water. A bad time. A bad time. The drought was so bad that there was nothing. It couldn't be found. In this time that Obadiah was out looking for the water and for the hay, and so was Ahab, Obadiah came across Elijah. And Elijah says, go tell Ahab I'm here. Obadiah says, yeah, but if I go tell the king you're here, and then when he comes you're not here, he'll kill me. He's already sent people off to all the nations surrounding, the kingdoms surrounding us, to take their word that you are not there under their care. I think Ahab was fairly serious. And as the drought continued, I'm sure he got more serious. This man that bothered Israel, actually bothered him. Okay. Elijah went through a whole bunch of different things. But it's common. Chapter 18, please. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Go meet Ahab, the guy that wants to kill you. Go meet him. This was not a negotiation. God said, go show yourself to Ahab. What happened at that time, the tough times? How were they developing? Elijah had seen many different things. He had this initial encounter with Ahab, and he learned to do what God told him to do. The ravens fed him. I can't imagine depending on God to the place where birds were going to bring me food, or a brook in the middle of a desert was going to provide me water. And when that let up, he sent me to a widow woman who I lived with. He said, God set that up. And off of a handful of meal and a cruse of oil, the three of them subsisted. in the death of the woman's son, Ahab, leave Ahab alone. He went in and took the son and took him up and laid on him and prayed, Lord, what have you, help me with this. Help me. Heal this son. Give this child his life back. And it didn't happen the first time. I think it's the 7 times. And the life came back into the child, and he gave him back to his mother. And his mother said, I know that thou art a man of God. You speak God's word. That's something very real that you can put your hand on. It's tangible. I brought my son back. It's tangible when you go to the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil and it never runs dry. That's tangible too. But all of these things are given so that Elijah could learn. He had to be learning through all of this. You know, Romans 8:28, you don't have to go there. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Go show yourself to Ahab. Okay. Let me find where we need to be. We're back in 1 Kings 18:17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all of Israel unto Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent all of the children to Israel, of Israel, and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. There's sore famine in the land. There's a drought that has never been seen. Ahab confronts Elijah. Elijah reconfronts Ahab and says, go gather all your prophets and gather all your people. And he did. You know the story very, very well. Build the altar. Take the bullock. They could turn around and put everything on dry. When they spent all morning long trying to get their God to call down fire to start this sacrifice, it didn't work. Elijah says, go build the altar. Help them build the altar. They dug out a channel around the altar. They poured barrels of water over the top of the sacrifice and the wood until there was water all around the altar. And he calls on his God, calls, prayed, standing before the people. You know, Elijah had this thing where it wasn't just good enough to have this challenge, but he tormented them. Call a little louder. Maybe your God's asleep. Cut yourself. He didn't tell them to cut themselves, but they're cutting themselves and doing all these things. So, verse 25 in chapter 18. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one of the bullocks for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call upon the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, and called the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and they made... And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or pursuing, or is off on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. They cried aloud and cut themselves, and after the manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. When midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all of the people, Come near. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar, did all those things that we just talked about. And he put the water on, and he said, Do it a second time, verse 34. And they did it. And he said, Do it a third time. And they did it. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and thy have done, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people saw it. They fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. These are things we learn. You probably learned this when you were in Sunday school. Elijah. Go show yourself to Ahab. So he did what they told him, and then he said, all these false prophets, don't let any of them escape, and they killed them all. They killed them all. So that brings us back to where Jezebel sends him a message. The message was, you got 24 hours and I'm going to kill you just like you killed all those prophets. And he went and he fled. Shortly after that, he sent Ahab back and he said, wait a minute. Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He went back up to Mount Carmel, hung his head, sent his servant up to see, is there rain? Any rain on the horizon? Seven times. Finally, it was rain. I don't know how you or we all deal with God working in our lives in different ways. We have a wonderful thing called memory. Memory takes you back, and it's much more effective when you get older. So that's one of the good things, I guess, that happens about getting old. Of course, sometimes you can only remember the things that happened 40 years ago, and you can't remember what you had for breakfast. Or say somebody's name, and it goes, I have talked to a lot of people that I knew, but I didn't know their name again until I left them and we parted ways. Good thing, most of them didn't know my name either. They just knew that we were friends. Memory. To remember what God has done as a path towards what he will continue to do, his promise. Elijah knew all these different things. There was the reality that God had done those things. He'd been part of them. He'd seen it. He delivered those messages. So what happens when you don't look back to see where God has brought you from? You don't see those little things, those little nuggets that you look back at and you say, wow, if I had done that, the consequences would have been much different. God moves to fulfill his will and his purpose. And if you're a Pharaoh and you don't know him, or you're an Ahab and you don't know him, he's still going to fulfill his purpose. He is going to do a work in each one of us as we let him. It's his will. I mean, we got to look for his will. In John 14:13, you don't, it says, "Whatsoever we ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." It's not because of us. Lord, help me do this. There's nothing wrong with letting your requests be made known to God. But there's something wrong when I focus those requests on my own. I've already made the decision that God's going to bless me because I'm me. I may not have that blessing because that may not be in his will. Am I confident enough to look at all those things that he's done before, that I will continue to honor him, wait on him, trust him, even when things don't go quite the way I would like them? Can I really say, "Thy will be done"? It's hard. You all know it. It's hard. But God is good. God is so good to take us through those things that we might understand and trust. I don't understand it. I can pray about it, but I want to pray in your will. Lord, I haven't made up my mind. Help me. Help me to make up my mind that we might be one in agreement. There are some really, really hard things. Very, very hard things. Lord, didn't you know about Jezebel and all the prophets I killed, and she threatened me and she's going to kill me? Yep. But you know, later on, the Lord finds him up in a cave, and he says to Ahab, he said, "What are you doing here?" "Well, I'm the only one." In fact, he told that to the people when he got in front of the people. "I'm the only one left. And God says, "No, I got 7,000 prophets that have not turned to Baal, not done these things." Wow. Sometimes you can turn around and you're trying to live the life, you're trying to be what God would have you to be in the world. And his world was really, really bad. Jezebel was killing the prophets. Things were bad. There was great famine in the land. We live in a time that it's not good. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what gives you the power, me the power, to live through those things that I can trust him. That he's, I can be instant in prayer and I can be constant in prayer. Very, very important that I can gain strength even in the times of woe through God. Through times I don't understand. You ask yourself, "Well, what's going on, Lord?" It's not for me to know at that time. I'm to trust. I'm to continue to honor him and look for his will. It's a good thing when we can look at the world we live in and look at the God we serve. When he originally came and got all the people together, remember he said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If Baal's God, serve him. If God, the Lord's God, serve him." It's kind of like Joshua standing out in the desert, turning around, drawing the line out, and says, "Choose ye this day whom you shall serve." Or David, when he approached Goliath, and he says, "I don't come with all the armor and all the rest of that. I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have offended." Courage. Fear. Fear is a natural thing. I'm sure that I've heard many people tell me that they were in very, very bad situations, military, whatever, and you ask them, were you afraid? Say, yeah, I was afraid. I don't think I've ever found somebody that said, no, I wasn't afraid. I'm trying to think. My friend, Mr. Winston Churchill, I like to read some of these things that they come out with. And he came through some very terrible times also. And we can look back at it, and history makes it look really good. But if you go back and you look at what was actually going on when he was the prime minister early in the, before the war, or during the war, he didn't have a easy way. There was a lot of appeasement things out there. Well, let's just make peace with, you know, Hitler and all the rest of it, and we'll survive. Kind of like the better red than dead that we all came through years ago. Some of us remember that. He said, Winston Churchill was quoted as saying, fear is a reaction. The piano falls from the window and crashes right next to me and I jump because I'm fearful. It's a reaction. Courage is a decision. Courage lets me walk down the street even though I know they're loading pianos up out of the windows up there. I'll keep an eye out, but I'm not so fearful that I won't go. Elijah had, I'm sure he had fear. It doesn't tell me that. I think he would have fear because he ended up in this cave anyway. But he had courage. Courage to go do what God told him. Get up and go. Get up and go. It said that Jezebel had 400 prophets that ate at her table. The word probably got back to her, there'd be a few empty seats around the table tonight for supper. And her response, I'm going to kill you. We live in a time that where's our fear? They tell me that there's natural fear of death, and there's a natural fear of falling. As I get older, I probably pay more attention to falling. Or if you find yourself and you're doing certain things off of a ladder, you look down sometimes and you say, if I fall from here, I'm going to get hurt. Where when you're younger, you say, yeah, so we'll just bounce the ladder over. Or, you know, you do those things that, nah, never mind. Children, don't do this at home. Or as my father once told me, he says, if you're going to climb trees like that, go where your mother can't see you. We've all seen the things. Child sacrifice in those days. Terrible, terrible things. And there have been other times like that through history. The Holocaust. Guys like Idi Amin, Pol Pot. Over there somewhere. They all did their things. They've all tried to... Atrocities. We live in a very quiet, safe nation in most respects. We live and we have blessings that just go beyond. As God says, I've given you the power to gain wealth. Give us this day our daily bread. Boy, how many varieties would you like? You walk through the supermarket and it's amazing the stuff that's there. It's not like that in every country. And we have a lot to be thankful for. One of the other things, like, go with me to... Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 11, please. Deuteronomy 11. 11 and starting with 14. Then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart not be deceived, and ye turn aside to serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off this good land, which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign to your hand, that you may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt teach them to your children. Why do we have to teach them things like that? We have a real problem with history. I truly believe that. And I forget who said it. Some one of you probably knows it, but it says, if you don't remember your history, you're condemned to repeat it. My friend Mr. Churchill, boy, I've really enjoyed looking at his stuff. He said, a nation that forgets its history will not long exist. What we're doing is we live in a land where nobody wants to talk about the history, and we have a real problem with communicating, I'm just talking history, let alone the Bible, to our children, to our families. But that's what's very, very important, because that's the only thing that means anything. Yes, it's good to talk about the American Revolution, but it's especially important to talk about how I was saved to your kids. It's very, very important that they can look at you and they can say, I know he was saved. The trying times we live in, the wickedness of the world, is still the same. We have a real rapid response to knowing of the wickedness, or calling good bad and bad good. Churchill said, one of the other things I remember, he said, you can start a lie, and the lie will be halfway around the world before truth can put its pants on. That's true. And we are living in a time when it'll be three times around the world before anybody can say, no, that was wrong. And even then, somebody typed back in and said, oh, I was made a mistake. But those words and that which was committed out to the social media and the net, they're all there. They never change. And somebody else goes and looks at it and says, oh, look at all this stuff, and they believe it. We need to be very, very careful that we live lives that are a witness to one another, that our prayers are for one another, because it's tough out there. It is very, very tough. We just read it. It says in 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside to serve other gods. Today, we could do that. Yeah, we could do that. Lay up my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign upon your hand. Lay them up. Teach them. Remember, when we are in God's will, we have great power, we have great peace. We have hymns that tell us all about those things. Who's on the Lord's side? Stand up for Jesus. Hold the fort. We have all of these different things that are encouraging us, and we sing them with great vigor. We need to have the great vigor in our heart. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is not to get in a fight, but it's just to turn around and say, that's wrong. especially in today's world. That's wrong. How can you say that? How do you know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Oh, that's old-fashioned. That's nothing. No, it's something very, very important. So, we have great power in prayer. To be instant and constant in prayer as you travel down the road, as you're walking along. I don't know about you, but I think it's very, very possible. Yeah, I know it is possible. You can be going off doing something, talking to somebody, and have one part of your mind off in prayer about it. Lord, this conversation is not going well. Please help me. What a wonderful thing God has created in our mind that we can do that. What a wonderful thing that that mind can instantly make contact with the creator of the universe, with my Lord and my Savior. God made it that way. We need to be thankful. We need to really be truly thankful that what God has started, He will continue to do in us, hard times, easy times, when I think I got my will, and when I don't, He's still God. So in Elijah's time, things were bad. He was a bad king, bad government, bad place. The nation rejecting Israel. I mean, the nation of Israel rejecting God. So what do we have? We have a nation that doesn't want to accept God. And if you listen to the media will tell you it's all that way. I know that there's still, you know, a couple 7,000s out there that love Him. I feel that way. I can't tell you all of that. I'm not all alone. Oh, by the way, I happen to have God. I have God in me, living in me, and I in Him, and He'll take me through this no matter what it is. No matter what it is. He is closer to me than anything else can ever be to you. He's there. We need to avail ourselves of Him. It's like reaching down to a little kid and say, take my hand, you're going to fall. I'm not going to fall. Well, then you get ready to pick them up after they fell. It's similar to with God walking with us. Take my hand. Let me help you through this. I know more than you do. I'm better prepared at it than you are. Boy, is not that not the truth. Doubt. I think that came into my thoughts here. And I don't know anywhere that, I don't want to start a rumor that goes around the world before the truth can put its pants on, but did Elijah doubt God? I'm not trying to say that. But in his humanness, after seeing all these things and having this one wicked queen send him a letter to let him know what she was going to do, maybe he had just a little twinge of doubt that sent him up into the mountains where God found him. Why halt you between two things? If Baal's God, worship him. If God's God, worship him. So maybe we all need that just a little bit, where we are listening to God saying, what are you doing? Can I have your attention for a minute? Fear? Oh, where did doubt come from? Where was doubt first used? I think it comes into Genesis somewhere where it says, yea, hath God said? Wow, look at the trouble that got us into. God knew about it. From before time was ever begun, He knew that that was going to happen. He knows, we're all sitting here tonight, and we've all got these different things on our mind. He knows all the troubles that we had today, all the troubles we expect tomorrow. He knows it all. And He says, I got it. We need to fall back on our beliefs, to trust Him, to look behind us to see where He brought us from, and trust Him where He's going to take us to. How bad is the world around us? I leave you with one question. How great is the God we have?